Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
Last week, we talked about the final four in a Rushmorean manner. Four songs, four faces. This time out, we're into the Olympic medal podium realm. Today is bronze. So Gold Sounds is your number three song on the countdown. On the podium, but not quite a gold or a silver. What do you have to say on behalf of Gold Sounds, Hugh from Northern Virginia?
Gold Sounds is a classic. I like your podium and the final four and the podium thing and the gold and the bronze. That's great. I really like Gold Sounds. It's not like my super go-to favorite, but I love it. And the part that I really like is near the end when he says, "So drunk in the August sun." And it just hits me so hard. And I don't know why.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a frog that, when kissed, turns into an even bigger abacus. How will your favorite songs fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Jeremy. Hello. Jeremy, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm good, thank you. I'm live from Toronto, as you are.
That's right. This is kind of cool to be talking to somebody in the sphere.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. I want to know, as a fellow Torontonian, your Pavement origin story. Now, no, I didn't arrive here until 94. So I came from a very small town. And, you know, anyway, Toronto changed my world. But
I didn't actually move to the city till 1997. So we're going to go back to my origin in London, Ontario.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so I just sort of wrote down some thoughts about this. So I'll start talking. Let me know. Interrupt me when you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've always been very into music, even when I was very small. And I was already into some underground music when Slanted and Enchanted came out. I was 17.
Damn.
I heard about things from a combination of like magazines and a sort of 1980s like harsh record store clerk guys that would hip you to something that was cool because they would be blasting like Big Black or The Replacements at top volume and kind of ignoring you as you have your like used cassette you're trying to buy for $4 or something. But so I would go downtown London and go to these shops. There was one called The Record Dealer. That was my favorite one. There's a couple different ones. And then I would just hear these weird things that weren't on Much Music, which for our foreign listeners is Canada's MTV.
That's right.
Or the radio. I also was like a skateboarder in the 1980s, and this got me into lots of music. They'd write about bands that were on SST a lot in Thrasher magazine.
Okay.
So I heard Sonic Youth and Dinosaur Jr., Firehose, Black Flag, Minor Threat, not that they were on SST, but like that sort of thing. And then, so then like, as it was sort of early 90s, like Soundgarden, for instance, was on SST. So I kind of got into that kind of stuff and then Sub Pop grunge kind of stuff. And then I started hearing, you know, some other things on CHRW, which was London's Radio Western, sort of underground stuff. Like they would play Pavement and the Jesus Lizard and things like that, Slint.
Holy shit.
So in the 90s, for me, like growing up in London, it's not like Toronto where everything is super available to you, but not a super small town, so kind of a halfway, you know. But Spin magazine was amazing. I'd buy it every month and I'd read it cover to cover. And then in 1992, Slanted and Enchanted was the album of the year.
And fuck.
Reading the review, I loved it. Like, it just seemed like something I would like. And it's like noisy and melodic. Those are the things that, you know, I'm always kind of into. And they used to have a column kind of in the back called Records You Probably Didn't Hear, which as like someone, you know, that's into indie music, you always want to know. So they would like, you know, I heard Royal Trucks or Sabado or Yola Tango or read about them from reading the column. And when Slanted and Enchanted came out, or at least my experience was, it was super talked about, but they didn't, Matador Records didn't really have a lot of money, I don't think, to press a lot of them. So it took a while for it to show up or for me to find it in London, Ontario. But eventually I bought it on cassette. Because I didn't have a CD player, and I loved it. And it was just one of those things where it doesn't really make sense to you at the time, but you know you like it, you know? So I just,
yeah.
You know, like, so I just listened exactly to it obsessively over and over until it seeped into my brain. And I was super into it. And it's that combination of the ugly and the pretty and the mysteriousness of the lyrics, but he sings it so confidently that it sort of gives it a meaning almost, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, I played guitar and, I was in this sort of heavy grunge band that some of my schoolmates started. And then I was sort of drafted into playing lead guitar and I was woefully unprepared for it, but I loved it. It was fun. But shortly after I joined the band, I just started getting into this type of music and different music. And I wanted to be more like indie rock and like messy, as opposed to that sort of drop D heavy grunge stuff that we were playing. But those guys in the band liked Pavement as well. So sometimes we jam out on some songs and I convinced them to cover Frontwards. And then if we played live, I would get to sing it and it was really fun. So I still kind of continued on and played music for a while, but that was sort of the curtain call for my grunge days. But that band had the funniest grunge name. They were called Dead Minnow Bucket. Pretty harsh. Yeah. And then, so I followed Pavement all the way through their initial run and have most of everything they did. I have a few bootlegs on CD, like Stuff Up the Cracks.
And, okay.
I got a 7-inch on a trip to Toronto.
Hold.
It's okay.
Sorry.
All good. I have a dog that's sleeping behind me. I was just saying I sort of followed Pavement through their career and then have most of the things on CD. I got some bootlegs like Stuff Up the Cracks, some other ones. And I remember coming to or finding in a record store a bootleg 7-inch of the Peel sessions they did.
Oh,
which I still have, like that circa 1762, like that Peel, that early. I think that's the first Peel session. Anyways. CHRW was excellent. They played a lot of that stuff, and I got into a lot of that music. A lot of my friends in the London indie scene either worked there or volunteered there. In the 80s and 90s, CBC used to have an overnight show called Brave New Waves that played underground music 4 or 5 nights a week at midnight. And everyone would sort of tape that and trade tapes and like get into that, you know, like.
I don't know that show.
Yeah, it was originally hosted by Brent Banbury. And then in the probably the early 90s or late mid 90s, it was taken over by Patty Schemmel, I think. No, not Patty Schemmel. She was in Hole. It's Patty Smith. And she was in an indie band from Montreal called Pest 5000. Anyways, it was really cool. It's a shame that they don't do that anymore, but
yeah,
it was cool. They would play Pavement and things like that. And as the night would go on, it would get like crazier and crazier. So it was just sort of abstract noise by 2 or 3 in the morning. So it's kind of a fun thing to get into. I kept playing music. I started playing with my own band, and it was like more sort of indie stuff. And we put out a 7-inch in the 90s and toured around for a while. That was called Frisbee.
Frisbee.
And then I still do music. I mean, we're all sort of grown ups with full time jobs, so we don't do a lot of promoting it, but we play live now and again. It's definitely influenced by like this sort of 90s pavement-y type stuff.
Nice.
So I moved here. Oh, that's called Leonids for you people that might be interested. But I moved to Toronto in the late 90s, 1997. And I just sort of went, I want to talk about live shows, but there was this article in, there was a magazine called Ray Gun.
Yeah, I remember Ray Gun.
Yeah, and there was this article about Pavement, and each of the members listed their favorite records, and like that was like gold for me. Like I was basically like highlighting, trying to, you know, I got to get this one, I got to get this one, you know, when I was, you know, trying to, when I was that obsessed, you know, when I was that age, when that record or that magazine came out. So I've seen them live a bunch of times. I saw them on 94 at the Palladium, which was out on the Danforth, for Crooked Rain.
Where is that on the Danforth? I don't know.
It doesn't exist anymore. I think it's a yoga studio or something now. I didn't live here then. So I don't like, I don't know, because we just sort of went there and back to London.
Oh, God damn. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. But Codeine opened, which was amazing. And there's a Toronto post-rock band called Slow Loris, who are really cool. And they ended up putting out some records on some sort of bigger indie labels, like Southern Records and stuff. It was kind of cool. And then I don't think the next time they were around was Lollapalooza out in
Barrie. Time out. Yeah. You're burying the lead here. How was the show?
Oh, it was amazing.
Other than the opening bands.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, it was, you know, the sort of two-drummer lineup. Like, it was with Westy on drums. So, probably early for him in his Pavement days.
I would say so.
But, yeah, it's hard to remember much. It was a long time ago. I can remember them jamming on 5-4, which was kind of cool. I don't think I've ever seen them play that since then. So that was kind of a weird, cool thing.
That's very cool.
And I remember at the time, because, you know, minimum wage then was $3.90 an hour. It took a while to save up for those tapes. I hadn't heard Crooked Rain. I knew Crooked Rain, but I didn't know Slanted and Enchanted as well. No, the other way around. I knew Slanted and Enchanted, but not Crooked Rain. So my friend beside me had the opposite problem. So he would get all excited when they played a Crooked Rain song, but I'd get excited every time there was a Slanted song. So kind of our fun little trip. But yeah, that was cool. The next time they were around, I think, was 95 when Wowie Zowie came out and they played at Lollapalooza.
Right.
I think, out in Barrie. And I mean, yeah. It was... I forget who played before them, but it was kind of a more heavy, like moshy band, and the sort of alternative nation wasn't that into it, but that just meant my friend and I just walked right to in front of the stage. That was kind of cool when they played.
Oh, fuck.
But then the next time was kind of a funny story where my friends at CHRW got me press passes to go to Chicago to see them when Bright in the Corners was just coming out, and I was supposed to interview them, which was terrifying. And
guess so.
And I was 21 or something. I don't know. But going down the whole way, I had a tape that had 3 songs on it, so I felt like unprepared to like ask them questions about this new album that was coming out. And it was kind of stressful. And then,
do you remember the songs that were on it?
I definitely remember Embassy Row was on it.
Okay.
Probably Stereo. But yeah, I can't remember. It must have been some promo cassette the station head. But it was funny when we got to the venue, which was the Metro in Chicago. We came in and they were kind of all standing there, and I was like, you know, trying not to faint. And then they're like, I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm supposed to talk to the band for CHRW. And they're like, we rescheduled all the interviews till Monday. And then I was kind of like relieved almost. Like, I was like, okay, well. So then Steve West said that he would talk to me after the show if I wanted. But, you know, there's alcohol in that American beer, believe it or not. And I must have been 21. By the end of the show, I didn't really feel like I just didn't feel like I could do a good job. So I just did a live review for the show. But it was amazing. Like, Chicago is a cool place. I've only been there a couple of times.
It's great.
But it was cool that the Metro is a neat venue, and like to sort of, you know, drive 8 hours and see them play was kind of fun. And they, I really like Bright in the Corner. So
me too.
For a lot of the, yeah, I could say that about all those records, but it was cool to hear those songs, a lot of those songs for the first time. And it was a good show. It was funny because we kept going places, and
Was it part of a tour, or was it a press engagement?
Oh, no, I'm not sure if it was. Yeah, it must have been part of a tour. Like, it was a proper show, but they just had the sort of press stuff before.
Gotcha.
The show. Like, it was like their sort of what they were doing before they played. So then it was funny because we kept going to different, you know, we go to a record store and then we'd see some members of Pavement. And then we went to eat dinner at some place and Bob Nastanovich was sitting right beside us, but I was too shy to say anything. And my friends are like, just so we're just kind of like, it's Bob Nastanovich, but we didn't really say anything, you know?
Oh, he's the best.
I bet. He seems like the coolest guy. I would probably say hi to him now, but it was fun. But yeah, that was kind of a wild thing. But then, like every other time they came to Toronto, since then, I've seen them. You know, they played a few more times. Like, they played at the Cool House. Do you remember that venue? Down by the lake there.
That would have been fun to see them there.
Yeah, it was good. And I can't remember the openers, but they played there twice. I think Bright in the Corners, and then maybe on Terra Twilight.
Okay.
But that tracks. They played the Phoenix for Bright in the Corners, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And that was like a good, it's a good show. And Shudder to Think opened, which was really great too. But it just sounded good. I mean, it's just, Pavement is one of those bands for me where there's not that many of them where I just know every song. So it's just like, it's never, you know, every time you're like, yes, you know.
Yeah.
They, in 2010, I think, they had that reunion show on Toronto Island.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. My wife and I went to that and had a great time. It was shortly after, I think it may have been one of the first things we did after our son was born, where we like left him alone for a while, which was.
Right. I missed that show because I was living in San Francisco at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And while I was there, they did the reunion show in Stockton with Gary.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't get anyone that I worked with to go with me. So I didn't want to drive to Stockton by myself. And I didn't go.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been good to see that Gary era. He's such a unique drummer.
Absolutely.
Such a weirdo. It would be cool to see. I've seen all the Malcolmist shows since, and Spiral Stairs. Actually, the last time Spiral Stairs played here, he played at the Dakota, which is a really small.
Yeah, he played the Horseshoe, didn't he?
Well, he has played at the Horseshoe, but
I saw him at the Horseshoe. I thought that was the last time he toured.
No, maybe it was the last time. I don't know. But I saw him at the Dakota a few years ago, like pre-pandemic. So however long that was ago. But
yeah,
that was kind of a cool, it's like a little venue. There's a, what's the name of that Toronto band? It's really fall-like. Stuart Berman, the music journalist, is the singer. I don't know if you remember, if you know this band. Anyways, they opened up and he got to sing two states with them, which was kind of cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so I guess in a long rambling nutshell, that's sort of my Pavement experience or my sort of Pavement backstory.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Is there a record that is your go-to at this point?
I really like, I mean, they're all great, obviously.
Yeah, and it changes with the season, probably.
Crooked Rain is one that I always just, it just sort of reminds me of being like 20 years old and like summertime, having fun with your friends, you know, like I like to, the sequence of it is so good, you know, it starts with Silence Kit and it really doesn't let up. But I love especially that run from Silence Kit to Unfair. It's just so great. But yeah, that's, I guess today that's my favorite one, but you can make a bunch of them. Brighten the Corners, I think, is a really, it's them being a little more focused and mature. And I really like the guitar playing on it as well. But Crooked Rain is the one, I guess, I always would think of.
There's nostalgia dripping from Crooked Rain. And I got into it, you know, in the year 2000. So it's like,
yeah.
It's built into the DNA of that record because somebody that didn't experience it in context even feels the nostalgia on that record, you know?
Yeah, it just feels like summertime or like, you know, I don't know, to me anyways, it's just like fun.
Yeah.
You know, free.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, should we put a stop to this and talk about song number 2 on the countdown?
Wow. Sure. It's a great song.
All right. Well, stick around. We'll be right back after this.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
Dose.
Parking lot is a sedan. anybody. Never, he never complains when it's hot.
The number two song on the countdown has been revealed, which means you very likely now know what number one is. Fuck! Jeremy, where are you on the choice of Grounded at number two?
Well, I don't know if I would have ranked it number two, but it is an amazing song, and I really like it. So I'm not too burned by it.
Does it crack your top five?
I would say.
Okay.
Maybe number five.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just wondered how far out it would be.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm calculating the margin of error on this list.
It's very scientific.
I need
scientific.
That valuable input.
Yeah, so I think it's one of the best songs on Wowie Zowie for sure. My thoughts, I guess, I think the guitar playing is really cool. It's really a fun song to play. I think it's a very guitar focused song.
Yeah.
I remember trying to learn how to play it when it came out, and I could sort of play along with it. The chords are simple, but there's a lot of sort of intricate picking and stuff in the song. I think this is a bit of a window into where Malcolmus's songwriting and guitar playing was going. It's not as spazzy as his earlier stuff, but it's kind of planned out. And
interesting.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting if it was on Crooked Rain as originally recorded, but I think this version is better. I actually had a fun thing that my friends used to play in a band that would cover the song, and I got to sing it live with them once, which was pretty fun.
Oh, dude.
Shout outs to Cedar, former band from Toronto. I think the lyrics are interesting. They're sort of like half of a story. It's like a doctor that's bored with his life, or maybe that's just the way he's singing it. And then he gets to the chorus and it's impassioned, but I'm not sure why exactly. Like, what boys are dying on mean streets? And it kind of leaves some space for you to make up your own story, I suppose. Perhaps this is like a well-intentioned person that listens to public radio making a conversation about something they heard. That's my invented story for it.
Oh, I like that. That's
I love
fun.
The LSD blotter reference. It's just kind of
yes.
Soaking up the blotter. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts. What do you think of this song?
Oh, you have to listen to that episode. Because as I mentioned in episode number 4, where we revealed song number 4, Tristan asked me if I to tell him my experience with the song, and I was unable to recall it, as I am unable to recall it right now for Grounded. I could tell you that there was something in the on the web or in a book that had little snippets of what some of the songs were about, and I probably leapt off from there, but I don't remember that. I know definitely for Crooked Rain there was that, and I told Tristan that. I don't know where I got my information for Wowie Zowie. I think, God, I mean, you're right, it's guitar driven. You don't get lyrics until what? You're like 35 seconds in.
Mm-hmm.
It's dynamite live.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like spectacular live, often. Well, not often, but Malcolmus will sometimes play it behind his head, which is just fucking
yeah.
Awesome to see. I don't know if you tie it in with the title. Like, why did they call it Grounded? Is that like grounded as in you're stuck somewhere?
Mm.
Is it grounded as in, you know, like you ground your children? Which in that case, you're stuck somewhere. I don't know. I really don't. Because there's Contract Bridge.
Are these just little snapshots from his life? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
You never know if it's just like this sort of lyrical pastiche of, ideas coming together. I definitely know, I shouldn't say definitely know, but my thinking is like, quite often he's got, the music and melody, and he sort of wings the lyrics a little bit. So I'm guessing he has a notebook that he can jot things down from which to wing.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
I don't know if you've ever listened to that. Bob Nastanovich had a podcast called Three Songs.
Yes. Yeah.
But it kind of, I always, when I used to listen to Pavement lyrics, I would be kind of like, am I not getting this? Am I not smart enough to understand this? But I don't think it is that. I mean, it's really just sort of images and words that are evocative of something. And it's all his delivery. And, you know, like there are some more straightforward songs, but I feel like that's more of his solo career era. Like, I can't imagine like Wowie Zowie Malcolmus singing Jenny and the S-Dog. You know what I mean?
No, like, not at all.
It's not, he's just cool, and it's like shrouded in his weird, like, you know, he's just like, he's so confident. Like, it just comes across that way to me anyway.
He definitely is, but there's this nervousness about him. Like, like, I don't know whether he has a bit of social anxiety or... And that's stupid of me to speculate, but like, he can be you know, he can be like a little standoffish or whatnot. I don't know what that's rooted in, but you put a guitar on him and put him on stage, and
yeah,
he's like, he's absolutely virtuosic, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And only like definitely over time. He's always been a great guitar player, but like over time, like he's just gotten more and more.
Sure.
You know, like that sort of convention. I mean, not in a conventional, like in a boring way, but like he can really play the heck out of his guitar at this point. So when you go to see him play, like it's like, it's kind of wild to see, you know, like he has to switch off with the roadie every song because his guitar is going out of tune. They probably have to put it in a refrigerator back there, you know, just to cool it down.
Well, Jeremy, is there anything, no, before we do that, I want to ask you if it's at number two, Grounded, is it rated, overrated, underrated, just right?
I think it's fairly rated. It's one of their most memorable songs. Maybe not my number two, but I know a lot of people that like Pavement, and it's certainly always in the conversation. So I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, live, it's a live favorite.
For sure.
So, okay, interesting. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Well,
band or otherwise?
Yeah, I play in a band in Toronto. We have records. We are on those things. It's called Leonids, Leonids. If you find that on all of your streaming type services, check it out. I think
I'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah. If you like 90s stuff like God of Our Voices and Pavement, I think you'll find something you like there. Hopefully.
I think you're talking to the right audience right now.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you know, if you're a big Wham fan, you're going to, you know, love this.
Yeah, like we're, you know, like we've been playing 90s influenced indie rock since the 90s, so that's got to count for something.
Oh, yeah. That's very cool. Where do you gig?
Like in the Cameron city. House, or the Horseshoe, okay, or just, you know, wherever we can get in, like little, like the back room of the Horseshoe, or sorry, the Cameron House, we've played a lot the last few years, but yeah, I don't know. Look, we're all sort of grown-ups with full-time jobs, so we're not touring or playing that often, but a few times a year, we definitely play in Toronto, so.
Do you have anything booked?
Not currently.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, I'll be sure to post it up when we do.
All right, well, cool. Maybe by the time this episode airs, because we are taping it well in advance.
Okay, yeah, I'll circle back.
Yeah, maybe there'll be something for definitely at least me to go see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, from Toronto.
Yeah.
In Toronto. Jeremy in Toronto. Jeremy from London. That's right. Wash your goddamn hands.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email. jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com. Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.